developer since about 1995. I'm a Pluralsight author. I've got my blog and my email address there. So if you have any questions after the talk, feel free to email me and ask me any questions. I will also try to answer questions at the end of the session here. So we'll jump right in and start looking at where we use Fiddler, where does Fiddler make sense. And a good place to start is to talk about the actual protocol HTTP. So if you look at HTTP, the Hypertext Transfer Protocol, I gave you a link here to where the RFC is located. But basically, it's a request and response paradigm. So this is the conversation that goes on between your browser and a web server. So this is when we do our tracing with Fiddler. These are what we're going to see. And you'll see that the browser will make a request, get a response. Each request and response is broken up into a header section and a body section. So we'll take a look at what that looks like. So what is Fiddler? So Fiddler is specifically, it's a tracing tool built specifically for HTTP. So there have been Network Monitor, Wireshark, there's lots of tools that have been around for a long time to do network monitoring, but they monitor a lot of different protocols, and therefore they've got some complexity built into them that makes them more difficult to use when I just want to troubleshoot problems with HTTP. So this tool was built specifically with HTTP in mind. It was made by Eric Lawrence. I put his Twitter information here. He happens to work for Microsoft, and he's on the IE team now. Years ago, when he was working, I believe it was the ClipArt team for Microsoft, they were trying to troubleshoot some problems people were having online downloading some of the ClipArt. And he didn't feel there was a great tool that people could use to try to troubleshoot these problems in a way that would be easy to use and they would be productive. So although he said at the time he didn't know C Sharp, he didn't know HTTP very well, he went out and got some books, learned what he needed to do, and he's been building and enhancing Fiddler since then. Where you can get it is fiddler2.com. I've heard him say a number of times that it's very important that you get it from that site. There have been people that have been offering copies of Fiddler that you can download, but that have been found to have malware with them. So just be aware that you want to get it from fiddler2.com. So let's take a quick look at what the tool can do. So I'm just going to start up Fiddler here. And as an example of a somewhat typical website, I'm just going to go to Microsoft.com. So what I can do now is on the main area in Fiddler on the left side, you'll see the web session. So it's not a web session that I would typically think of as an ASP.NET developer. A web session in terms of Fiddler is a single request and response that goes back from your browser to the server. So a couple interesting things to note right away. If we look at the list on the left, you'll see that I made the request for the home page. And what I typically do on the right-hand side, I've got lots of different inspectors I can use to view particular content. I like to see the raw request. So I can see that my browser asked, did a GET request? Here's the URL it's going to. It wants to use HTTP 1.1. You'll see some of the other things in here. It's mentioning that I prefer to have US English. So we're going to look later at how I've got a multilingual site and how it's going to actually use that header. So when that request came to the server can understand what type of language it wants to send back. You'll see an accept encoding line. This has to do with compression. I'm going to get more into that in my performance talk tomorrow, but the idea would be this is the client telling the server that it understands how to decompress the content, so it's okay for the server to use compression. The host header just points out the DNS name for the particular website, so when you host multiple websites on a single server, IIS can use the host header to differentiate which site you're looking for. So that's the particular request. If I go look at down below, you'll see that I needed to do a transform. It was compressed content, so I've now done a decompression. And I'll look at the raw response. And again, it's made up of a header area and then the body area down below. So we'll dig into more of this later, but the important things are it did use HTTP 1.1. It had a status code of 200, which means OK. And then it's got a lot of other information here. They're running IIS 7.5, et cetera. And then down below is the actual file. So that's what a basic HTTP request and response looks like. So as we go through and use the tool, we're going to constantly be looking at different inspectors and watching that traffic. The other thing to note down the left-hand side here, you'll see that that single request for a logical page actually took 86 different requests between my browser and my server. So typical websites today, it's not unheard of to be around 100. So that's all of the images, JavaScript, CSS files that go into making a modern page. So we can see that there's an awful lot of requests that go back and forth just to show that single page. And we'll spend more time on that later. We'll pop over to Fiddler 2 just so you have an idea of what the website looks like. So again, I can come out here and say I want to download it. Fiddler is written in C#, and there are two different versions now, but it's going to require the .NET framework. So you're going to have to go through and say that, yes, I want to have the framework. And then you can actually download, and again, make sure you get it from fiddler2.com. It's actually a pretty good site as far as basic information about Fiddler as well, and some details on how to do particular tasks that we'll talk about today. But he's got some good help and documentation. There's a lot of developer info on how you can customize Fiddler. We'll talk a little later about Fiddler script and Fiddler extensions, and he's got good information out there on that as well. But that's the basic website. You come do your download from here. So how does Fiddler actually work? Well, it acts as a proxy. So what a proxy is it's something that's acting on your behalf. So I'm going to start up my browser. When I start up Fiddler, what Fiddler does is it says, I want to watch traffic between the browser and the server. And one way to do that is to hook into the browser's proxy system. So I start up Fiddler. Fiddler's going to start by default on port 8888 on my machine. It will automatically, for most current browsers, adjust the browser's proxy configuration to say, I want to run all of my traffic through this proxy server. So as I'm typing requests, they're going to get directed over to Fiddler. Fiddler's going to look at the request. We'll look later at how we can make modifications to the request, but if I'm not doing that, by default, it's just going to do a capture for me, and then it's going to pass the request on to the actual web server. Then it's going to receive the responses so it can capture it again and then send it back to the client. So it's basically sitting between the two of us, intercepting the traffic. So let me close this. We'll go back to IE. So if I look at my internet options, and I go into my connections and into my LAN settings, you'll see that right now I don't have a proxy server configured at all. When I go start up Fiddler, I left it on the default port. If I were to go back to IE and check my proxy configuration again, you'll see that now it's telling it to use a proxy server. So if I go into advanced, I can see that if you're familiar with TCP/IP, 127.0.0.1 refers to my own local machine. So what this is saying is anytime I have HTTP traffic that's going to use a proxy server, I want to actually send it to this IP address and this port. And in this case, that's Fiddler running on my machine. And then once I've done that again, as I'm making requests, if I were to go look at, say, the help and documentation, now I can see that it's capturing all the traffic between my browser and my server. So that's basically how Fiddler works. We're going to see later how to trace services, and we'll see how that becomes important because we need to sometimes manually configure a proxy server in order to force it to go through Fiddler. As I said, most of the modern browsers just pick up that Fiddler's active and they work just fine, but we'll show how you can set that later if you need to. So why do I use Fiddler? So I've been using Fiddler for many years, and the primary thing I probably use it for is troubleshooting problems. So it's very common if I'm working on a website or I'm helping another developer, they happen to have a particular issue, I can pull up Fiddler and it's going to tell me a lot of stuff very quickly about what might be going on with this particular problem, and I'll show you an example of a quick troubleshooting technique in a minute. The other thing I like to do, I use it for performance reviews. So whenever I'm looking at a website, if somebody says I'm having some performance issues with my site, I like to open up Fiddler. I'll show you the statistics tab where I can quickly go in and see, are you making too many requests? I can see things like, are you using compression or not? Are you using minification and bundling? Those things become very obvious when I look at Fiddler and take a performance view of a website. I also like to use it just for a general site review. So if I'm out on a particular site and I'm curious what technologies do they use, do they use jQuery, are they using a Microsoft technology, I'll use Fiddler and I'll be able to pull up the site and look at some of the response headers to figure out what kind of operating system are they running on, what kind of server-side technology are they using. That's often advertised to me that I can see in Fiddler. A lot of people use it for security testing. So I'm going to show a little later, by the way, I'll just say this now, the things I'm going to show you, please don't use them to cheat. I get a laugh occasionally when I look at Eric, some of his tweets about people sending to him that are asking how they can use Fiddler to cheat in games or cheat in their homework, etc. Please don't do that. Obviously, I'm trying to show you techniques that help you troubleshoot problems with your own website, so please use it responsibly. The other quick note is it also doesn't fix problems. So as we go through, I've seen a couple tweets from Eric where people had actually sent and said, you know, I had problems. I started Fiddler and I still have problems. So the idea with Fiddler, it's going to help me troubleshoot and trace, but it's not meant to actually go fix the problems. But again, some people use it for security testing if they want to see what would happen to my server, and I'll show you an example of this later. If a client were to send this type of request, sometimes it's difficult to produce that request on your own via a browser. It's easy to do that in Fiddler, and we'll see how that works. I also use it for periodic site reviews. So for our e-commerce site, about once a month, I've just got on my calendar, go hit my site with Fiddler. I can look through and make sure that everything's working like it's supposed to be working. Is it the number of requests I expect? Is anything taking a long time? Did compression suddenly get turned off? Am I having 404 errors that I'm not recognizing? It's a very great tool to just pop in and see what does my site look like today. And also to learn how things work. So I've worked with a lot of different APIs and websites, and it wasn't clear what was actually being communicated between the client and the server. So I could hook up Fiddler and very easily see what was sent to the server, so I could figure out, well, what do I need to transmit? What is mine not doing correctly compared to a good one? So it's very typical for me to do a good trace of something that works and then turn around, try my version, and then I can look in Fiddler and see, oh, I'm not sending something in this request. That's why things aren't working. So it's really helpful to figure out how things work. So let's look at a couple quick examples of this. So the first one, I've got a particular page that I'm having some difficulties with. So it's a very basic page. We're going to walk through the performance one in a minute, but it's got some jQuery here that's kind of cool. When I click this link below, what I want to have is I want to have a pop-up dialog. So when I click this, you'll see something went horribly wrong, right? That didn't position. I wanted it to come up on top with kind of a grayed out background. I can see something went wrong. I can go over to Visual Studio quick and take a look at my page. And if I just start to scroll through here, I look, I've got my jQuery, I've got my Thickbox, that's the particular plugin I'm trying to use. Nothing jumps out at me here as I've got a problem. However, if I were to go back and start Fiddler, and I'm going to go back and re-request the page again with Control F5, if I were to go back to Fiddler at this point, something's going to jump out at me right away. It gives me a nice red indicator. I have a 404 here. So for some reason, it's not finding the style sheet that I expected. So if I were to go back and look at my project, let's pull up this particular page again, and it's trying to pull up styles. And for some reason, I typed an extra one there, so I can fix that. Now I can go back, re-request my page, click, and see, now I have the experience that I expected. So I've used this many times to troubleshoot problems. I help other developers. So one of the developers had one of those. Works fine on my machine, doesn't work on stage. That are not that uncommon, unfortunately. So we walked through some of the things. Did you move everything okay? We decided to start up Fiddler. It turned out that one of the files was not deployed to where it was supposed to be deployed, so it wasn't working because of that. But again, it wasn't something that was easy to eyeball. but it was something that I could turn around and start Fiddler really quickly and see what was wrong. I'm going to come up here. We're going to look at some performance now. So I'm just going to do a remove all so all my sessions go away. So I've got a before and an after for performance. I want to show you. I'll hit the before. And we'll go look at what that looks like for requests. So you can see this is a pretty typical set of requests. I'm asking for the default.aspx page, followed by a couple jQuery files. I've got three style sheets. I've got another jQuery plugin, and I've got a series of images. So let's do a quick performance review and see if anything jumps out at us. Again, I have a talk on performance in detail tomorrow, but I can notice some things here really quickly. I noticed that I've got three separate JavaScript files. So if you're familiar today with the techniques of bundling, I can reduce the number of requests between my browser and server and increase my performance if I were to put those all into one file. The other thing I notice, I know how big jQuery is typically. It's not this big. And the problem is that I'm not using the minified version. And I can see that if I come over on the right here, you can see it's got all of the spacing, comments, and everything. So that's the other thing that jumps out at me when I look, that, you know, that's a little bit too big. I can sort by the body if I wanted to do that. And that's also going to point out to me right away that I've got some absolutely huge JPEGs here. So I've got four JPEGs that are used in my rotating banner here. And as I go back, you'll see they're 300K. There's a lot of good image optimization techniques. I'm not going to go into how to optimize these, but I wanted to show you that it's a good example of quickly I can see. Another cool feature, I can select all these sessions and go to the statistics. And the thing that jumps out at me here is I've got 16 requests, and I've got almost 1.5 meg. So I know I've got a pretty big file. Today's average websites are about, they crawled up to about a meg. I'm bigger than that, and unfortunately I really don't have that many things on the page, so that's another quick indicator to me that I've got some performance issues. It's a little hard to see here, but I've got a breakdown. You can click on a chart, and you can see that the biggest part of this pie is the JPEG. So that's the other indicator to me that I've got some big JavaScript, I've got some big JPEG. I could do some work on those. So let me sort these again in order. Now I'm going to go back and hit my after site. And we'll see how that looks different in Fiddler. So that one starts from here. If I were to click through this and look at statistics, you can see I've only made 11 requests, and I've cut it in about a third of its total weight from what I had before. And again, I'll get into the techniques tomorrow, but you can see some things really quickly. I've got all of my JavaScript files combined and minimized. So I took all three of the JavaScript files from up above, put them into a single file that cuts the number of requests, and I've also minimized it. You'll see I've got one extra style sheet here. It had some problems with minification, but you'll also see that my images down here are substantially smaller than they were before. So again, this is a nice way for me to view what's going on. One of the things I'll typically do if I'm going to do some performance work, or a lot of times when I do Fiddler, I would have first made this set of requests the old way. I would say file, save. In this case, I can do selected sessions. I like to save off a captured, in this case, it's an archive zip for Fiddler. I can make the changes I want to make. Then I can rerun, get the new ones. I can save that off. So it's nice because in the future, I can go back and show people, this is what performance was like before I did my optimizations. This is what it looked like after. So it's just a good historical. It will also come in handy a month from now when I check my website again and see, has anything changed? Have people put in files they forgot to minify and things like that? So it's a good archive for me to look at. We'll look at a quick site review now. So if I were to go back, let's go to Microsoft.com. I'm just going to clear out my cache here and wipe out my Fiddler requests. And let's go to Microsoft again. So this is going to give me the quick chance to do a site review. I can obviously see the .aspx here, so that's kind of a giveaway that we're running ASP.NET. But I can come up here and see a couple things right away. If I look at this page and look at inspectors again, I can see this. Again, this is telling me that I've got compressed content, so that's good. They're using compression on their dynamic files. And if I go in here, you'll see some things that it's telling me as well. It's running IIS 7.5, but this is kind of curious. They're running ASP.NET 2.0. And I can see, obviously, they're powered by ASP.NET. A couple other things I can notice, they run jQuery. So it's a little bit older version, but they're running jQuery on their site. And then I can also come in and sort by the different file types. So it's a quick way for me, again, to do a site review just to get a feeling for how do things work, what kind of technologies do they use to get an idea of how they've architected their site. So those are some of the reasons, again, why I use Fiddler. It's got a lot of good uses. We'll go through some more in detail as we go through here. So I showed you the web sessions before. Again, a web session in the terminology of Fiddler is just a single request and response to the server. There's a lot of things that you can actually do on a web session that might be useful for you. So I'm going to show you how you can do marks, how you can do comments. A little known feature, you can actually save a screenshot. So I send my Fiddler traces. I often review them with my infrastructure people if we're having any issues. It helps for me to be able to embed a screenshot so I can say, this is what the shot looked like. Or if I send it to another developer and say, your page had a problem, this is where I think it is. I can mark the line I think is wrong, and I can embed a screenshot. So we'll see how that looks. A lot of times, some of the network monitoring tools will show you a lot more details about a particular request. So I'll show you how to use the properties on a web session to get into some of those lower level details in Fiddler. It's also nice because I can compare sessions. So if I have two particular requests to the same page, one that works and one that doesn't, I can select those two sessions and say I want to compare them. And it can run a, in my case, WinDiff, or you can configure what difference tool you want to use, and it will show you literally here's the difference between either the request or the response. Fiddler also has a lot of searching capabilities, all the things you would expect, searching by regular expression, but ways to go through and find things in your Fiddler trace. So if you had a lot of pages you were going through and you want to see, I've got a style sheet that has a particular style, which style sheet is it? I can actually go search within the content of those web sessions to find particular sessions I want to locate. So let's go look at some of the things I can do here. So again, let's say I come in here and I want to make some comments. I can right click and just add a comment to this and say, maybe we want to upgrade this. So now if I were passing this on to someone later, they can come through and see the comments here. If I'm afraid they might not notice that, another thing I can do is just mark this. So I can choose a color and say, I want to make this, let's do gold. And I can just tell the person I send it to, please look at all the gold sessions because those are the ones I think we need to spend some time on, so they can come back and see how that, what my comments were. If you ever need to get to some of the low-level details that you typically see in a network trace, you can go to the properties. And this has a lot of the very low-level information about IP addresses that you or the server were using, information about whether it used the cache or not, when it was last modified. So it's got a lot more details here if you need to see that specific level of information on a particular request. Now, if I came through and I was working on one of my websites and I needed to save off a particular file, I can come in here and just right-click. So if I find a file that I want to save, I can say save. In this case, I want to save the response. I don't want to typically save the entire response, but I do want to keep the response body. So if I had an image, a logo on one of my websites that I wanted to use internally on another one of our websites, I can do this Fiddler trace. Maybe I don't know where it's stored right now. Do the Fiddler trace, quickly save off the response. Now I have the particular image that I needed to be able to get to. Then the other feature, if you see the screenshots that we talked about, if I wanted to show the particular screenshot, if I hover on this, you'll see if I hold the shift, it's going to give me a delay of 5 seconds, which will give me time. So I'm going to click that. I'm going to go over quickly. I'm going to pull up the page. At some point here now that 5 seconds kicked off, Fiddler took a picture of this and embedded that into my session list. So if I were to go down, you can see I now have a screenshot. And if I look at the image view for that, you'll see that's what the screenshot looked like. So it's very helpful if you need to send this to somebody else and you don't want to just describe what was wrong with the page, embedding the screenshot. Now if I were to do the file save again, that will actually be part of this SAZ file, the archive. So I can send that to somebody else and that will all be included. So that's some of the things that you can do with web sessions. Another nice feature in Fiddler is the filters, and I can save and load these. So if I get a particular filter that I like, I can save it off. So when I do another session with Fiddler, if I want to do the same sort of things, I can just quickly reload it. It's nice because it lets me show and hide sessions that I don't want to see. So if I've got a really long detailed list and I know I'm only looking for certain things in that list, I can come into the filters and say I want to hide particular sessions. You can also see how your browser is going to behave. If, let's say, you were behind a firewall and something was blocked, I can actually come into filters and say, I want to block all of the CSS files. So if I were pulling those from maybe a CDN, I could say, how would the client react if for some reason they weren't able to access that particular site? Maybe my CDN went down. What would that look like? I can actually come in here and block all of the CSS files. A helpful hint if you do a lot of filter work, as you're doing filters, these sessions are going to disappear. If you're not sure exactly, you can't see some of the sessions you think you want, you can go under the help menu and say, I want to troubleshoot the filters. What it will do is it will show the sessions and it will show them with a strikeout. So you can see it would have been here, but it's not here because of a particular filter that's in play. So let's go take a look at some of the filters. So again, if I will just leave up what we had before from the Microsoft, we'll go into filters. We can say that we want to use filters first. And there's a lot of different things I can do. I can see if I only want to see internet hosts in this or intranet, or I can hide particular hosts. Down here we can see I can block the CSS files, I can block image files. So if I were to apply that filter, make a request again, suddenly none of the CSS files would come down correctly and we could see what kind of behavior that would have. Another cool thing, they've got a time heat map. So if you want to see how things respond, so let me show you another, show you this feature first when we talk about performance. Something I missed earlier. You can look at the timeline. And what this does is it gives me a breakdown of all the particular requests. I can see how they were made. You know, browsers by default will open a number of back connections to the server to download files. So you can see how that actually was executed. And I can see spots where there were some delays. And I can also see occasionally, I don't see a lot of long ones here, but occasionally I'll see a really big file will have be really large on the graph. So it's very easy to show people. Sometimes it's hard to explain to them, I don't want to put this huge image, I need to optimize it. Why do you need to optimize it? When you show them a visual on a timeline, it for some reason is a lot more comprehensible by people about what exactly is going wrong here, what do I need to fix? So if we come back to filters, if I can do this time heat map, what it will do is it will go through and use some heuristics and actually show, must be filtering something else on here. It will actually show quickly, hit this again, see if I can get it. It will actually show some colors on some of the timing. So I actually got something else here I'm filtering that I'm not. Let me see if my handy troubleshoot filters will tell me something. So you can see I definitely do have a filter here. Oh, I've got some down here, some of the hide redirects, some of the other things I didn't notice I had turned on from previous. So let me try to take those off. And I'm going to take off the host filter there. Let me remove these and make that request again. So you can see that's where the troubleshooting filters comes in handy. So I did a control F5 again. Now if I have that heat map, you can maybe not see it real well, but you can see some faint coloration here. It's got some heuristics built in for making the requests that take longer end up being kind of a red color. So you can get a quick rundown by just looking at it, which particular requests took more time than you would expect. And again, you saw some of the other features I had inadvertently turned on here yet for filtering, but if I decided I didn't really want to see authentication demands, or I want to strip out particular URLs, again, I can do that here, and it just makes the list of things in my web session list much smaller than it was before. So that is some of the filtering. Now we're going to get to what actually gave Fiddler its name, and that's, it used to be called Request Builder, now it's called the Composer. And the idea with it is it allows me to quickly make modifications to a request and see how the server is going to behave. So I can use it for security testing. It lets me do slight tweaks, lets me do things that maybe my browser wouldn't let me do easily, but I can easily do with Fiddler. So the first part I'm going to show you how you can go into this feature and you can actually try to manually create a request, which I personally think is a lot of work. What I like to do instead is I like to actually just make a request the original way. Then I drag that request over to the composer. Then I can modify it and change it as I would like. So first let's look at, I've just got a web page that's got a simple, so it happens to be a web forms, and it does some validation on my page. So I've got it here where I've got a range control validator to make sure that this number is between 1 and 10. So if I were to come in and submit it, you'll see it says that's not valid, it has to be between 1 and 10. So let me start up Fiddler here. So that's basically running client-side JavaScript, stopping me from entering those values. So I'm going to do a good value and submit it. I can come into Fiddler now, I can see that request. I'm going to turn my filters off while I'm in here. I can see that good request. I can go to the Composer tab, and what I can do is I can simply drag that request and drop it on the right-hand side. Now what you'll see is it's a post, so it recorded the information of that particular request. So now I can come in here and fiddle with this particular request and see how is the server going to react. So again, it's hard for me. I could probably turn off client-side JavaScript, but if I want to put in a value of 0 for security testing and see what if a client did use a tool like this and tried to submit a value that normally should be caught and wouldn't be valid, how would my server react? I can come in here and change this to a 0. Remember, use this for good. So I put in a 0. I'm going to hit execute again. That went to my server. Now I'll click on that and look at the inspectors. I'll look at the raw response, and now you'll see my page successfully accepted that. It said, oh, okay, 0 is fine, because now my client-side JavaScript wasn't there. So now through this security testing, I've been able to use Fiddler, make modifications to the request, and see that I really do have a problem. I did not code the server properly. I'm using validation controls. I still have to do the stuff correctly on the server to make sure that I'm still enforcing those particular rules. So that's one example of doing the Composer. Look at another one. So I talked before about creating a page that was multilingual. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on how I did this because that's not really the point. But I used resources. So this is pulling out of a resource file. So if I go under my resources, you'll see I've got two different versions here. I've got the English version. So my message is just hello world. And then I've also got a Spanish version. So if I open that, that's the Spanish version. So what I want to do is to test this easily, I can come back into my browser. Let me make sure I got Fiddler up. I'll make that request. So we see hello world. Again, if I go back to that request and look at what it looked like, you can see that, again, I sent the accept language of English, United States English. If I go over to Composer, what I can do now is drag that request again. I can change this to say, what if I said I wanted to see a Spanish version and re-execute. When I go back and look at this again, I'll look at the inspectors and the response. And now you'll see what the Spanish version looks like. So again, there's times where for security reasons or it's just easier, or if I came up and said I want to see what my server does, if I don't have compression support in my device, I can delete that in Composer, resubmit it again. It's just an easy way for you to make tweaks to requests and have them submitted to your server to see if you have any particular problems. So another cool way to use Composer is using breakpoints. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but you can actually set up Fiddler so it will interrupt you when it sees a particular request or response. And then I have an opportunity to modify it. So let me go back in here. I'm going to clear these out. And in this case, I'm just going to go back to, let's do my performance before. So now I can see I've got these particular requests. I can actually set up breakpoints. So I can come in this, there's a quick view down here. You can see this little black area. I'm going to talk about this a little at the end. This is another cool kind of a command line interface within Fiddler to type some particular commands. So the one that I want to type in this case, I'm actually going to set up a breakpoint. And the particular quick exec command for that is BP after. So in this case, I'm going to say, please break after you see site.css. So again, it's just BP after site.css, hit enter. I'm going to go back and make that request again. And what it should do, you can see now, Fiddler's actually waiting on this request. So it set up a breakpoint. Now it says, hey, I'm about to return this to the client. Now I can come over here and make any kind of modifications I want. I picked BP after, which meant I wanted a breakpoint after the server ran it and gave it back to me, because I want to see what happens if I were to accidentally only get part of that file. So let's say I delete or modify it. I can say run to completion now and go back and see, you know, now I've lost part of the stuff I had for my footer because I've made those modifications to that particular request using a breakpoint. So again, it's similar to Composer, but it just gives me the capability to come in and have it stop when a particular file is requested so I can make modifications before it goes to the server or before it comes back. The next feature I want to show is Autoresponder. So since Fiddler is actually a proxy, it can return information to me without actually contacting the web server. So for instance, if I wanted to run a demo and I knew that when I went to the client site, for instance, they weren't going to have a live internet connection, I could actually copy down the entire website to my machine. I can set up autoresponder and say anytime people ask for this particular site, please serve it from my local files instead of having to go to the original web server. So they've got particular rules here. You'll see an ordered list of rules, some actions that you can take. One important setting is this unmatched requests pass-through. And I'm going to show you an example of a particular run-through, just kind of a fun example of how I could use this to spoof out what the server would actually say. So let's go back into Fiddler here. I think I have this set up, so let me turn this off for a moment. I'll walk you through the process from the beginning. So what I wanted to do is if I came out, there's a ratings, which I would appreciate if you would fill this out after this talk is done. I had a cryptography talk this morning. So I can come out here and I can see what my ratings are. And I thought, well, I thought I did a little better than that. I'm just going to spoof this out with Fiddler and make a change to this. So what I did, I've got my particular trace. If I go back into Fiddler, I've got the trace to that speaker page. I can come over into my inspectors. I can decompress it. Now what I can do is I could save this off. So I'm going to save this off, this response. I'm going to put it in my temp file. So I did this earlier. I'll make a new one here called speakercrypto.htm and save it. I'm going to go out and just modify that page a bit to give myself a slightly better rating. So I'm going to troll down through here and find where it had 4.29. There it is. It's in there a couple times. I think I did. Yeah, what the heck? I did a 499 on that, I think, personally. So I'll change those two and I'll save that off. So now what I want to do is I'm going to use Fiddler and say, anytime somebody makes a request for that page while Fiddler is running, only on this machine, obviously, it'll look to them like the value came back with something else. So what I do is I go into autoresponder. I can say, well, I want to get, I'll remove the old one. I want to enable an automatic response. So it knows where I'm pointed to in my browser right now. So you can see that's the page that they would be going to. If I see an exact match for that request, I can come down here and say, well, I'm going to find a file. There's a lot of ways I could respond. I'll go back and show you that list here in a minute. I could say, just do a 302 redirect, say that I'm not authorized. In this case, I want to pull up that file I just modified. So I'm going to hit save. Now, if I just have Fiddler running and I come over and show my friends and I hit this, wow, you did really well. Obviously, I missed a couple of things, so I'd have to spend a little more time on that. But wow, I got a 4.99. That's cool. I'm obviously not affecting the actual website. All I'm doing is I'm showing you an example of how Fiddler can be used to intercept requests that would have normally gone to the server and make local modifications to it. So again, if I had a really important demo and I needed to make sure the site was going to work, I could copy it all local, have it set up so that if my internet connection was slow or not working, I could go on Fiddler and say, turn on autoresponder and please have it bring back everything so my demo doesn't die. I talked about that unmatched request pass through. It's important in this case because when they actually pull that page out of CTemp, it still wants all of the style sheets, all of the images and everything else. I could bring them all down here and set up rules for them. In this case, I'm just going to say unmatch request pass through. So I'm only intercepting the particular page. It goes out to find all the images and style sheets and such. It will still go back to the original website. So it went out and did everything else it needed to. It just took my changed file off my local disk. So that is autoresponder. Another cool feature in Fiddler is the ability to decrypt SSL. So one of the problems that we had in the past when we created our website, if a page happened to use SSL and we had a problem with it, you would try to open up a network monitor or you tried to use Fiddler long ago. And because Fiddler, I mean, the whole idea with SSL is your browser is going to encrypt the data and send it to the web server, and its sole purpose of using SSL is to make sure that people that are on that stream aren't able to actually see any of that information. What Fiddler will do is it will act as what's called a man in the middle. So in this case, what it's going to do is it's going to, when I start Fiddler and tell it I want to decrypt SSL, the next time my browser comes and says, I'm going to talk to this web server, I need to see its server-side SSL certificate so I can use it to encrypt the data. Fiddler will actually hand it its own SSL certificate. So it's going to give it to the client. On the client, you'll get a warning the first time you do this that says, hey, this doesn't match what the web server should be. You can tell it to trust that certificate. Now what will happen is the browser will use the Fiddler certificate to do encryption. It will encrypt the data. When the data gets over to Fiddler, it will use its own certificate to decrypt it. Then it'll capture it so you can see what the request looks like. Then it will reissue the request back to the real web server using that server certificate. So it's encrypted everywhere except inside of Fiddler, so I can actually see what's happening. So we'll look at how we can do this. So if I go under Fiddler options, HTTPS, you'll see decrypt HTTPS traffic. And again, the first time I do this, when I would hit OK, I hit it from my client, I'm going to get a warning that it's not the right certificate. So I'm going to say, it's OK, please trust this because I'm trying to use Fiddler to do some troubleshooting. So let me hit OK here. I'm going to turn this off. Now, if I have an SSL page, so I have a particular page here in a secure folder that uses encryption. So if I were to pull this up in a browser, let me get HTTPS going here. Try that again. Okay, so I wanted to hit it with a particular name here. That's the name of my particular laptop. And I hit that site, and now I'm seeing that secure page. Now if I go into Fiddler, what I'll see is it'll have its normal tunnel request, like it's going to do some SSL, but then it's going to drop in here. It says it's HTTPS, but when I actually go look at the inspector, I can now read that traffic. So if you've ever had problems where, especially if you're using a third-party vendor's site, you can't figure out, you want to see what the browser is sending to the server to help troubleshoot why you have problems, the newer versions of Fiddler now allow you to do that by acting as this man in the middle. I can turn it on, tell my client to trust it, and now I can use Fiddler like I always did. So all the features I want to take advantage of with Fiddler are here now because that information has actually been decrypted and I can see it. So that was a nice addition to Fiddler. So I've started doing a lot more smartphone, tablet work, and one of the issues is Fiddler is only going to run on Windows. So, you know, I typically, on my laptop here, I'm the developer. I've got my IIS site on this machine. I've got my browser on this machine. So I can do all my troubleshooting locally. If I'm dealing with third-party sites, I can start Fiddler and do a trace. What I ran into is I started to use devices, and I was so used to using Fiddler to troubleshoot problems, now I can't run Fiddler, for instance, on an iPad. So how am I going to go about figuring out what's going wrong with this machine? There's a couple different ways to do it, and I put up a list here for a reverse proxy. That's kind of the more complicated approach if the first approach doesn't work. Really, if I have a non-Windows platform or a device, as long as I can configure that device's proxy to point to my Windows machine, I can do that, and that's the easiest way for me to do a trace. So let's walk through this process. If I now want to see traces between my iPad and, we'll just say, Microsoft.com, I can use Fiddler for this. So let's see how that would work. So the first thing I want to do is I want to get some information about my particular laptop here. So I'm just going to do an IP config so I can figure out my IP address. So you'll see here is my IP address. On my local network here at home. So what I want to do is I'm running Fiddler. By default, it's running on 8888. And I've come into the connections here, and I click this Allow Remote Computers to Connect. You may also have to do some firewall work on your machine if you need to do that to allow clients to reach that port. But I've got it now set up that Fiddler's running there. So now what I can do, I'm going to remove all these. I'm going to step over to my iPad. Obviously, I don't have a camera on this, but I can set my iPad's proxy settings. If I go into settings, it's kind of in an odd place, but I go to, on my iPad, the Wi-Fi. And if I go to my home network, I'll click my Wi-Fi network. And down at the bottom, it's got a manual HTTP proxy setting. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to type in there my IP address for the server. I'm going to put in 8888 for the port. Now what it's going to do is, as I'm doing stuff on the iPad, instead of going straight out my wireless to the particular website, it's actually going to flow through. In this case, I had MSN as my default. You'll see I'm seeing the MSN request. And if you look on the right, you see it's coming from an iPad. And voila, I've got all the tracing that I... So everything I could do in Fiddler again, I can still do. So I've got my host machine that is running Windows where I can obviously do my Fiddler work. And yet I can use any of my smartphones, my iPad, or even different platforms that can't run Fiddler as long as I can configure their proxy server to come to this IP address and that port. It's going to flow all of its traffic through so I can do a normal trace. Now, in some situations, if you can't actually configure the client proxy, that's where you would set up the reverse proxy option. So I gave you a link to the Fiddler site where it shows how to set that up. But essentially, then what you do, your device can go to the IP address of your development machine, and inside of there, doing some Fiddler script, you can actually redirect to the proper website. So use the first option. Most of the time that will work. It's very easy. If you can't, you can follow through that reverse proxy setup. The other thing people want to do if they're using WCF services or web services and they want to get some traces, I'm going to show you how you can actually set up a trace. So here again, the key is you need to get Fiddler configured to be your proxy. So in both of these two cases, you can actually go in your web config and set the default proxy. So I'm going to show you how to do that first. So what I've got here, I've got some pages that call web services. So if I look at this, I've got an ASMX web service, and I've also got a WCF. So if I want to, first let's pull this up and make the request without having tracing enabled, and you'll see that it won't work like you would expect. If I were to pull this up and say view in browser, and I hit that, you can see the request for the ASPX page, but you can't see that page calling the web service. So if I come back, the one easy way to do this, if I go in my web config, I can just set up my .NET to say, I want to have a default proxy, and I want to use it even on local requests because I happen to be both the client and the server. And I set up the proxy to be my local address and the port 8888 again. So if I were to save this and make that request again, I can go back into Fiddler, and you can see not only do I see the ASPX request for my page, but I can also trace the request for my ASMX. Let's look at what that came back with. So I can see I've got some SOAP stuff coming back, or by WCF as well. So again, if you're used to using this tool, any HTTP traffic can be viewed in Fiddler. It's very simple. What you need to make sure is you need to be able to set the proxy of whatever the client is. So in this case, the default proxy worked. I'll show you in the web service case, you can also just set the proxy object. So if I had only one web service I wanted to trace, I could directly set my proxy object to be where Fiddler's running. That would work as well. Then it wouldn't trace the WCF, but it would trace the particular web service. So that's handy if you're doing a lot of service work. Now we'll talk briefly about some common issues that people will have with Fiddler. One of them is limited processes. So there is a way in Fiddler to say, I don't want to watch all the traffic. So if I had multiple web browsers open, I don't want to see all the traffic. I only want to see the traffic from a particular instance. So I'm going to open up Fiddler. I'm going to open up IE. What I can do is if you look on top here, there's this filter. I can grab this, pick this. Now what it does is it says I'm only going to trace stuff from that particular Internet Explorer. So if I were to come back again and let's go to ASP.conf for something different, you can see all the tracing is working like you'd expect. If I were to turn around now and go to a particular, open up another one, this is running on a different port. You'll see that as I hit the Microsoft site, I'm not getting any tracing. So the problem is it's handy that I can limit. But what people will do is they'll set up a particular Fiddler instance. They'll set it up to only watch a particular browser. They'll close everything. They'll come back another day. Suddenly, they can't get anything to trace in Fiddler anymore. So if the tracing isn't working, look up here. And also down below, you can also limit to non-browser traffic, only web browser traffic. So check these two areas and make sure that you haven't done some limiting that you didn't expect. And you see, to turn it off, I just clicked it again. Now it will watch any HTTP traffic that's set up to be a proxy on my machine. The other one I've done myself plenty of times, I think I did it today. I was running some Fiddler traces, and after I get a trace started, I might want to stop it right away so that it's not collecting other stuff. So maybe right there I see, hey, I already know what I want. I don't want to see all the other images. I can just go to File and take off Capture Traffic. But again, if I want to do another trace, I'll come and do a Remove All. I'll go back to my browser and hit Control F5, expecting to see trace traffic, and I don't see any again. So again, if you're having issues, you check your processes. Those are fine. Come up and make sure that you actually have traffic being captured. The other problem would be if you don't have a proxy set. So some of the older versions of browsers are not going to automatically hook into Fiddler. So you actually have to go manually configure their proxy settings to point at Fiddler. And you also saw by default when I tried to trace the ASMX and the WCF, it wasn't working by default. I needed to actually go set a proxy, so you may need to do that. The other thing that happens with some of the older browsers is, and this is common for me as a web developer, I'm running both the browser and I'm running IIS on my development laptop. So I'm trying to actually capture local traffic. IE9 was changed so that if I use localhost or the 127.0.0.1, that will still go through a proxy server. So by default, you've seen as I've been going through IE9, I can type localhost, point it to a website, and it'll trace just fine. If that doesn't work for you, there's a lot of different tricks. This one is the one I've been using recently. Fiddler has built-in names IPv4 for if you're using the IP version 4 or IPv6. You can use those names, type ipv4.fiddler. What the older versions of IE would do is they'd look at that name and say, oh, it's got a dot in it. That must be an internet address. Therefore, it's not local. Therefore, I have to use my proxy server. And then it would force the traffic to go through Fiddler so I could do the tracing like I would expect. So if for some odd reason you're not getting the tracing you want, you can try to use this, depending on what your browser is, to force the traffic to go through a proxy server. So again, I needed the proxy set. It just wasn't using it because I thought it thought localhost was obviously a local address. Now with IE9, like I said, that's been changed, so it will actually do that. But that's a trick you may want to use if it's not working in your environment. Next thing we'll talk about is some Fiddler extensions. So you can extend Fiddler using any .NET language. And in this case, I'm going to show you just, I went out to the Fiddler site. I found 4 decent extensions that I've used before or that I thought looked interesting. And I've downloaded them and installed them on my machine. Now Fiddler can take advantage of these. So they've got things like syntax highlighting. So if I pull up HTML or JavaScript or CSS, I can look through it and it's going to have the color coding and things I would expect. So it would look more like what my normal editor would look like instead of just being plain black text. The other one that's cool, the JavaScript formatter. It's very handy. So I talked about minification before. If you started using minified files and found that on the client you needed to actually see the non-minified version, you can actually right click and say that you want to format it using the JavaScript formatter. It'll do nice formatting to make it look good, and it will also unminify if it happens to be minified. Another one is the content blocker. So again, if you wanted to test and see what would happen if a particular host was down, you could actually come in and use this extension and say, I want to block all of the requests that go off to a given domain name just to see what the client would do. And then lastly, there's another one, the gallery extension that lets you see a whole set of images in one view. So I could see all the images used on a site. So let's look at what some of these look like. So we'll go hit my performance website. And I am actually going to, this is another thing you want to do in Fiddler. You can clear your cache, or I'll often go into my browser and hit Control F5 just so it does a fresh request. So there's all the stuff that happens on my request. I'm going to actually go hit the after so I can show you some of the minified. So I've got both of them in here. So in this case, if I go look at the syntax view, I can see that, let me do the response here. You can see I get some nice color coding down here because of that extension. So when I install that extension, it happens to be a new inspector type. This tab started showing up, and now I've got nice coloring. We talked about minification before. If I looked at this file, wow, that's all minified. I don't know what I'm going to do with that. I can actually go to my JavaScript formatter, make JavaScript pretty. I believe in this one I have to make that request. I have to basically leave and come back. So I went into the raw version now, and you can see now it's done some formatting for me and did the unminify. So now I can see it clearly on the client. In Fiddler, And if I pass that back to the client, then the client would be able to see the unminified as well. So that's kind of a cool trick. Talk about the gallery. So I've got a number of images on here. I can look at the actual single image on the right by using the image view inspector. If I wanted to see a whole series of images, what I can do is come up to the gallery extension, and I can see them all really quickly at once. And if I said this is the one I cared about, so I happened to go to Australia years ago, and you can actually walk up the bridge. Now I can click on it, and I can see that actual image on the right in detail. And I can see it'll highlight for me what happened in that session, so I can go look at what the header looked like and everything else I might want to see. The other thing to note, I don't have time to go through this tonight, but you can write your own extensions, as I said. So using any .NET language, you implement a few interfaces, and you're able to extend how Fiddler would work. Another way to extend how Fiddler works is taking advantage of Fiddler scripts. So this is actually built into Fiddler. It's a way for me to intercept and modify traffic programmatically. So in this case, it uses JScript.NET as the language. And I'll show you, it's got some functions that are going to kick off on before response, on before request. And then the on exec action is where I can hook and write my own quick exec actions if I want to do that. So let's take a look at some examples of these. So if I were to go into Fiddler, if I go into customize rules, it's going to actually open up. In this case, since I have the syntax viewer installed, it's going to show me the script editor view. And what I can do is I can come in and say, I want to do the on before request, so before the request gets sent up to the server. And I'm going to just, and see some of the things, I've got some reverse proxies in here. I'm actually going to go on the before response and see if I've got some coloration in here. So one of them down here, I'm going to uncomment these. So what I'm saying is to Fiddler, every time a response comes back, but before you give it to the client, I want you to make some modification to it. So this is some JScript.NET that just says if the URL happens to end in a PNG, I want you to color that session yellow. So I could hide it, I could do whatever I want. But if I save this, and I go back and make requests again of that particular page, we'll do the before, hit Control F5. And now you can see just by using Fiddler script, I've highlighted these as yellow. So I can make a lot of modifications. We looked at the filters before. The filters are just a convenient UI that allows me to go in and, you know, select things from a user interface standpoint. It really leverages everything underneath using Fiddler script. So I can go in again, say customize rules, and write all sorts of rules on my own. The other one I want to show you in here is you can create your own quick exec action. So if I went down, find where I've got my quick exec, right here. So in the on exec action, this will fire every time somebody types in the quick exec area. So I wanted to create a new one called RH, which just means remove a host. And what it will do is it will find all the sessions that match the host name I give it, and it will remove all of those. So for instance, if I were to come back and make a request, let's go back to clean this up. We'll go back to the Microsoft site so I can get some other domains in here. And as I go through, I can see there are some different domain names like i.microsoft.com. Let's say I don't want to see any of those. I can come down in the quick exec, use my new extension function, and say I want to remove i.microsoft.com and hit enter. Now all those requests that were for i.microsoft.com are gone. So it's just a quick way for me to do my own filtering. And I was able to write this very easily because Fiddler is very extensible using Fiddler script, using JScript.NET. So that's pretty handy. Another cool tool, if you have a particular user that's having an issue, somebody that's not very technical, I probably don't want to give them the full version of Fiddler. Fiddler's pretty easy to use, but if you're a non-developer, it still could be pretty overwhelming. So Eric also created a tool called Fiddler Cap, and the idea is it's a very simple interface for people that need to do captures for me. So they can come in, I downloaded it and installed it. When I click on Fiddler Cap here, you can see it's very straightforward. It gives them some numbers. It just says, click this one to start a capture. It opens up my browser automatically. I can go to the page and say, boy, the performance on here isn't what I want. I hit the page, I come back and do step number two, stop the capture, and then save the capture. I can just give this a particular name, put this out in my temp folder. Now what I can do, and again, you can do lots of other things. You can ask it to decrypt SSL. You can add screenshots so the user can come and say, I want to do a snapshot to include in here as well. Now that I've saved this, they can actually transmit it now to me as a developer. I can still open that in Fiddler. So I can take advantage of all the filtering, all the extensions that I'm using to troubleshoot and analyze what went wrong. But I've made the actual capture of it be very simple for somebody who really doesn't know how to use those types of tools and isn't very technical. So I've got some miscellaneous things I wanted to go through. Obviously, I showed how you could save raw files. So if I had a particular image or JavaScript file, you can just right-click, say save the response. Another good thing to know, you can encrypt the SAZ archive files. So if for some reason you were going to transmit this, but some of the data being sent you felt was sensitive, you can actually put a password protection on your particular trace. So if I came back in here, I could just say file, save all sessions, but I can pick password protected. Give it a name, hit save. Now it's going to ask me for the password that I want, so I can do that. Then I can tell whoever I send it to, use the password that I provided. It will come in. It uses AES encryption, so it's a pretty decent encryption. You can look into some of the documentation about how you can use higher key sizes and such. It's 128-bit by default, but it's nice that you can do that encryption. Another thing is Fiddler by default only opens up one instance. So there's been times where I've had two different traces and wanted to compare them and didn't know how to do that. You can actually go to the command line and type fiddler.exe and then the command line parameter dash viewer and then the archive name. It will open up that archive, let me view it in a read-only mode so I can have as many of these instances of Fiddler up that I want. So again, it's just a nice read-only. It allows me to have more than one archive open at a single time. Another cool feature is the text wizard for conversion. So if I were to go into Fiddler, there's a lot of times that you'll have Base64 or other things that you're working with, or you want to do some URL encoding or decoding. You can drop the data in here and do some conversions and say, I want to change the data from this and I want to Base64 encode it, or I want to URL encode it and see how it changes. You can see down below. So it's just a quick way for you to come in and see basic conversions that you're doing a lot of times. You can come in here and do them in the text wizard. Now, he also created what's called the HTTP sandbox. So if you want to do testing with Fiddler, but you don't really want to try it against your production site, you want to learn how Fiddler works, we'll show how this sandbox works. So I'm going to go out and hit the sandbox. And I'll show you the shopping cart example. So again, this is an example of how to use a composer. I can come out and say, wow, this is kind of cool. I want to get this cool tablet. I'm going to check out. I can see it's 1,095. To play with composer, I can come out here and say, well, let's drag this over to composer again. We saw how to do this earlier. I'm going to drop it in here. And if you'll notice, they coded this kind of unfortunate. They dropped the cost into the client. So I can just say, I just want this to cost a dollar. I think that's fair. I'll hit execute again. Now if I look at what the response looks like, I can see as I scroll down, I place an order for one tablet. It's going to bill me a dollar each, and it costs a dollar. So it's a safe place for me to do testing with Fiddler, learn how Composer works against somebody else's server. I mean, he set it up for this so that you can safely do testing without impacting your own site. So that's kind of handy. You can create your own inspector. So I showed you if you had a particular file type that you wanted to be able to see in Fiddler. So if I had my own unique transmission format for a file, for instance, and I want to see what it looks like on the right hand side, you can create your own inspector. So you could actually go in and create using .NET code an inspector that will be able to view your own custom format and show it to you in whatever format you want to see it. So if you did want to do that, that's possible with Fiddler. Another cool thing he's added is Fiddler Core. So you know how to use Fiddler itself, but there might be cases where you want to use it in a situation where you don't want the Fiddler UI. He's pulled out the basic functionality of Fiddler itself, the capturing and everything else, into Fiddler Core. So you can actually use Fiddler Core and embed it in a .NET app so that your app can just use the functionality of Fiddler without having to use the UI. So again, if you're interested in things like that, you can look at Fiddler Core. We did look at QuickExec earlier. So again, it's just a set of commands I can type down in the bottom here. I just did CLS. That cleared all the web sessions. So you can go online, look at the documentation for what are the different commands. It's just kind of a convenient, especially if you like command lines, way to drive Fiddler. A couple resources. I actually have a full course on this in Pluralsight. So if you're interested, I get into a lot more detail. I show how to write extensions and do other things I just don't have time for today. So if you're interested in that and you happen to be a Pluralsight subscriber, you can go look up that Fiddler. We talked about fiddler2.com earlier, so that's a good resource where you can download and find other things. Eric actually just published a book recently on debugging with Fiddler. So this is the complete reference from the creator of the Fiddler web debugger that you can get at Amazon and some other stores. So I've read the book. It's a very good book. It goes into details on some of the things that you've never been able to find and aren't in the documentation. So it's a good resource if you want to see it. And again, Eric Lawrence, that's his Twitter information. I'm going to toggle over now to questions, but that's my blog, that's my email address, and my Twitter information. Again, I'd appreciate it if you could do the speaker rating. Let me pop over here now and see if I can see any of the particular questions we might have queued up. So the question is, are there any particular Fiddler add-ons you recommend for security testing? There are. I have not used them, but I will show you what some of them are on fiddler2.com. And there's also some performance-related ones. But some of the security ones in particular have gotten some good press. If I scroll down here, these are all these third-party extensions. There's some for stress testing, but down here you can see Watcher and some of these other security scanners. These are add-ons that you can put into Fiddler to do more security-specific testing of your site. So you can go through and see there's XSS security testing, Intruder. So there's quite a few different ones. I do not personally have experience with these. The testing I've done has all been the stuff that I've done basically by hand on my own. Making modifications like I showed you through Composer, but be aware that you can take advantage of that. We'll see if anybody else has any other questions. So one other note, I do have some trial cards for Pluralsight if people are interested. I happen to have about 25 of them here. So if you're interested in getting a free week of Pluralsight, feel free to email me. I'll put my email address back up here. And what I'll do is I'll just take the first 25 people that email me at that address. I can send you the code that you need to use to get a free week of Pluralsight courses. Again, I've got a course on Fiddler that goes into more detail than I was able to do here. And I've also got some on web performance and other things. So if you are interested, feel free to email me. I will tweet when I've given them all away so people know they don't need to keep sending. But if you're interested, I can give you those codes for a free week of access. So let me pop back and see if there's anything else in the questions. So I don't see any other particular questions. I'll wait around another minute here and see if there's anything people want to talk about. Okay, well that looks like that's probably all we've got. So again, you can feel free to email me if you have any particular questions.